Good morning, West Texans. All you good, fine, friendly folks out there, we wish you were. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. We'll turn morning into afternoon. We'll take you to 1 o'clock today here in the Arctic Air Studios as you listen in on ESPN 960 in San Angelo and in the Hubaplex. We got you on Talk 103.9 FM News, Money, Sports on a bit of a breezy Wednesday. You could already be texting in. 806-855-3712. You know what we do on Wednesdays. It's Bandwagon Day. The bandwagons you're on, the bandwagons you're off. And there are a lot of bandwagons you could be on or off today, sports or otherwise. Always love hearing from you on that. We've got Texas Tech basketball to look at. Did they do it again on the road? They did. They're streaking. They've won four straight now. They're doing things in the Big 12 that nobody's doing in the Big 12 right now, which is stringing together a whole bunch of wins back to back to back. And it's impressive to watch, to say the least. And it will give us our question of the day here in just a few minutes. But yeah, Texas Tech wins 74-63 last night in Norman. It was a fairly interesting game. If you're just kind of looking at some of the stats, and you almost wonder how was it even as close as it was, turnovers in the first half. But we have that. The Big 12 also last night giving us some interesting games, with Texas rolling over Iowa State and Kansas State getting another good win. Just moments ago, right before we came on the air, I believe Emerald High and Monterey Lady Plainsmen just finished up their game. My goodness, five overtimes? Are you kidding me? Seen anything like that? No, I've never even heard of anything like that. Monterey outlasted them 86-78 last night in five overtimes. Lance Leinert, Panhandle Sports Hall of Famer from up in Amarillo, he took it all in. He's going to join us in the second hour to help us just analyze what was, again, one of those moments in sports that five overtimes. Insanity.
That was not only an all-time great game in girls' high school basketball, it was one of the greatest games, finishes, moments in sports of the last decade. It was incredible. And if you weren't following along, if you weren't watching, or you just think girls' high school basketball is not high level, you're wrong on all accounts. That game ended at 56-all, and through five overtimes, you know, 30 more points, multiple daggers from Amarillo to stay in the game, including a bank shot from the volleyball line.
Why not?
Just crazy.
And a sophomore and a freshman leading Monterey.
Hey, and for all the flowers that Leah Chavez gets, and she absolutely should get those flowers, they do not win that game without freshman Ambrosia Cole and senior Kelly Mora.
Yeah. It's a complete team.
It really is.
And they've got, I believe, Mansfield Timberview
mixed
up in Wichita Falls.
Yeah,
is that
Friday,
the matchup?
Friday at 4, I believe.
Yeah, good for them.
And I'm not sure how the UIL does the playoff. At some point, they take over. But I think we'll still have that one on Friday.
Yeah, I think the locals still get
and then
through
maybe
the
state
regional tournament.
Yeah.
Only the state tournament goes on the UIL broadcast network.
So I would assume Texas Sports Marketing, either on this radio station or Lone Star 99.5, 4 o'clock. And I think you should just play a best of seven with Amarillo and Monterey, but I guess they'll have to continue without them.
Yeah, unbelievable. Congratulations to the Lady Sandies as well. The Golden Sandstorm. Unreal. One of those. It is truly one of those that you go, man, you hate to see one of these teams have to lose this game. But that's the nature of sport. That's what makes it great. We'll get you on the text line, 806-855-3712. We thank everybody listening on the apps today. If you haven't downloaded it, do so. KKM.com. You can follow the station at Talk1039. Now, me, I'm just Ryan Hyatt, at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. Show never ends. In fact, we come back with a daily broadcast. Sum up the day's events with you guys around 6:30-ish. So follow along on Twitter at Ryan Hyatt Media. If you miss it, we archive everything at TheRaiderland.com. He's Rob Bro. You already heard his voice. Host of the Rob Bro Show, 1 to 2. One-third of the Gambling Gauchos at Rob Bro Show on Twitter. Okay, so it's Bandwagon Day. You can be on the bandwagon that was maybe one of the greatest games if you saw it. If you happen to be there, that's fine. There are bandwagons you can be off. Is anybody on the Nate Oates for Coach of the Year bandwagon right now?
Man.
That program getting picked apart and savaged over the last 24 hours.
I don't know what's been crazier. The actual story or the response from Alabama fans that nobody did anything wrong.
Yeah. Hey, it's just a night out in Tuscaloosa, baby. We're just going out to the strip and going to shoot up a few folks. I mean, he didn't pull the trigger. He just handed him the gun.
Well,
said, hey, it's loaded.
And he handed...
And then blocked in a car. You know. But, hey, these are just kids. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, according to Nate Oates.
Yeah, and we'd known about it, but he didn't get charged with anything. And how? And again, who looks worse, Nate Oates or the Tuscaloosa DA?
Yeah, who says we can't come up with anything?
Who couldn't charge accessory to murder? By the way, for all the kids out there, high school students, collegiate athletes, if maybe some Texas Tech athletes are listening, if your friend texts you at 1:30 after a night out and says, "Bring me my gun, please."
Don't do it.
Say no.
Yeah.
And tell him to leave.
Yeah, just, sorry, who dis? New phone.
You don't need your gun at 1:30 for anything productive.
No, rarely. Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, son. Question of the day, Texas Tech wins 74-63. Here is your question. This is what it's boiled down to now. And we want your thoughts on the game as well. Will Texas Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? It's a legitimate discussion now. The path is there. I give you hoopshd.com, the write-up on last night's game. Was this Greg or was this John Stalica? This is John Stalica writing the recaps at hoopshd.com. The preeminent, along with bracketville.wordpress.com, site as far as bracketology, filling out the field, knowing what's going on. Texas Tech, a team I had pretty much written off, is now in four straight. Now is a very viable path to the bubble. They won at Oklahoma last night, 74-63, which in and of itself isn't jaw-dropping, but it's still a road win. It's still their fourth straight win. And the previous teams they had beaten in the stretch are either protected seeds or also fighting for a spot inside the bubble. So I'm about to say something I didn't think I'd be saying weeks ago or a week ago. Texas Tech can make the field. They have three games left prior to the conference tournament. If they win two of them, they'll be right there in the discussion. Will Texas Tech make the tournament? That's your question of the day. Yes or no? It's 2 of 3 now, and last night was huge, and we said it was a must-win game, and it was, and they won. It was a must-win game because now Kansas doesn't really matter. You don't have to go win at Fog Allen now to make the NCAA tournament. If you had lost last night, you had to win out, and you had to win two games in the Big 12 tournament. Now, 2 of 3 at the end, and I can't believe we're saying this out loud, it's 2 of 3 at the end, and maybe one win in the tournament, the Big 12 tournament, would get you there, maybe. Yeah. I still think you need two wins.
And that was the first time all year, maybe, that you outclassed somebody. Since Louisville.
Yeah.
That right?
You went in on all the metrics, pretty much any metric you could find. Ignore the Vegas number on that, people, okay?
Right.
That's a different animal that they were looking at. And the line was wrong.
Yeah.
Line was wrong. But that you went in.
That was a very even matchup.
With better metrics. And for the most part, other than the 13 turnovers in the first half, that's the only reason why this game wasn't a complete laugher from the get-go.
Right.
You're shooting 80%, but you're turning it over 13 times, and it's keeping them in the game.
Right.
I mean, goodness. But what did they do in the second half? 3 turnovers.
Yep. And Daryl Dorra at halftime said we need to keep it under 5.
Man.
So there you
good
go.
Good call.
Yeah.
Wish he'd said that in the pregame.
Yeah. I think he might have wanted to, but.
Might have been better to do that. So, I mean, here's the question of the day. Will Texas Tech make it? You got to beat TCU, obviously, coming up at home.
Yeah.
Kansas doesn't matter. And then it's Oklahoma State at home, basically, to get into the NCAA tournament.
I really think if you get to 7 wins, especially how you're finishing, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but you're Iowa State of last year right now.
Yeah.
You started worse than them. But you're going to finish better than them. And if you get to a 7-11 like they were last year,
well, the thing that Iowa State,
they won a Big 12 tournament game and then got hammered by you, yes?
Yeah. Didn't Iowa State last year, though, start off non-conference like 13-1, then had the bad stretch in Big 12 play?
They were undefeated in non-conference.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think they might have beaten Iowa. Like, they didn't have a ton of great
games. No, it wasn't.
It's not an apples to apples comparison. But again, last night, and this is goofy semantics, but it's sports radio and that's what we do. Last night wasn't a must win, but it was a must not lose.
Exactly.
And so you completed that. You completed the first leg, and really that West Virginia game is the first leg of the parlay you have to hit. And the parlay is, you know, five of the last six, and you're on your way to that.
If they get this done, if Tech makes the tournament,
yeah,
is this one of the most amazing in-season turnarounds we've seen at Texas Tech in the last 25, 35 years ever?
That we've seen in basketball.
In basketball, period. I'm trying to find another turnaround and put it in context of doing it in the toughest basketball conference in the country. That it's not like you're doing this in some, you know, penny ante conference.
Right.
You've had to do it against the toughest teams in America.
Yeah, you're not Gonzaga struggling through a non-con and then dominating the West Coast.
Uh-uh. I mean, this is uncharted.
You have more territory. Quad one wins than Houston.
Yeah, think about that for a minute. It will be a number one seed.
I mean, you have an NCAA tournament resume in most facets. But the 333rd ranked non-conference is looming.
Yeah, that's kind of sitting there on your porch still.
And that's not all Texas Tech's fault. Ohio State struggled down the stretch. Creighton struggled for a large part of the season after you played them. Louisville was the worst Louisville team they've ever had.
You don't see that one coming.
So, I mean, you had some good teams on the schedule. They did not do you any favors. Georgetown, too. You got stuck with Georgetown.
It's a little bit like Tech's baseball non-con schedule. What was it, last year?
Last year, yeah. Where Merrimack just lost a coach and a pitching staff right before the season, and all of a sudden you lost the four
State,
game. Yeah.
Defending national champion, turns out to be not a good team that a lot of the programs you thought were going to be good weren't good. All right, we got to take our first time of the day. We'll get your text messages on the other side. Let's get it going today. Bandwagons, you are on. Bandwagons, you are off. Give us your thoughts on Red Raider baseball. The question of the day, will Texas Tech make the NCAA tournament? It comes down to two of three, probably. Will they do it? Where does this turnaround rank? You tell us. 806-855-3712. It's 806-855-3712. Quick break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Hi, Nick.
It's 11:21. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro taking it till 1 o'clock today here in the Arctic Air Studios. Bandwagon Wednesday. Question of the day: will Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? And you can recap last night's game with us. What impressed you most about that? Got us till 1 o'clock. ESPN 960 San Angelo Talk 103.9 FM News Money Sports. Don't forget Rob Bro Show coming your way at 1 o'clock. One of our leadoff texters today, Rob. Congratulations to the texter. They just updated the new and improved app. Fantastic. Listening on that app, turn on the notifications, and they say, yes, Texas Tech will make it to the tournament. New and improved app. Got to like the apps. Let's see. Texter, the shooting at 80% was likened to limiting out in a hunt with the Duck Dynasty boys. Duck Dynasty.
Is Duck Dynasty the new spicy mustard?
Is that the new spicy mustard now? Texter, could KU matter if we happen to lose by 30-ish? Just curious, Reckham. No.
Lose what?
If Tech were to lose.
Oh, to lose to Kansas?
Kansas by 30, would that matter? No.
It might matter in the room when the committee's talking, but analytically, no, it does not matter.
No. And I shouldn't say that Kansas doesn't matter, because if you go and beat Kansas,
right,
then you're really looking at not a lock. I don't want to say lock. You would still have to.
If you went out, Ryan, and then win a game in the Big 12 turn,
a game, you're in.
In the Big 12 turn, you're in, and you're an 8 seed.
Yeah, 8-9 line.
Like, you have completely, like, lock. You're the seventh Big 12 seed. Doesn't matter who does anything else. If the horizon, like, you would eliminate a lot. You would be a lock for the NCAA tournament if you went out and win a game in the Big 12.
And, man, I feel like we got to say this again because somebody on the Twitter feed, either last night or this morning or whenever it was, at Ryan Hyatt Media, at Rob Bro Show, was talking about what happened to the Big 12 being an 18, you know, 8-bid league and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, we've got to have the conversation again. Leagues don't get bids.
Right.
Teams get bids. When you hear people say, oh, the Big Ten is a, you know, 9-team, okay, they're not saying that the league is going to get those. They're saying
right.
Within the league they have the profiles
right.
to get that many teams in. People get confused on that, and I know you may say I'm parsing my words. I'm not. The Big the Big 12 is not a fill-in-the-blank bid league.
Right, you don't get automatic, like, bowl bids. There's not
right.
there's not bowl you don't get the certain amount of West
yeah.
entrance.
You
don't get a Midwest bid. There are 8 resumes right now that are tournament teams,
right.
arguably 9 resumes right now that are tournament teams
yeah.
with Texas Tech on the bubble. Oklahoma right now, the only team that does not look like a tournament team.
So be careful when you hear people talking about such and such league is a 7-bid. No.
Right.
That you get people get confused on that.
There are 9 resumes that make sense for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
But there are snubs every year.
Always.
Last year, SMU got snubbed.
Yeah. With a good finish.
I'm very confident that Texas Tech would win a tournament game if they got in the NCAA tournament and might even win 2 games. Again, you go back to Iowa State. Getting out of the meat grinder of the Big 12
yep.
is nearly a relief.
It is. 100%.
And you look at, like you played LSU, you were playing really bad before you played LSU, but you were able to finish against LSU because they're not as good as the rest of the Big 12. That's just flat
right.
facts. And if you can get in and be an 8-9 seed and play an 8 seed from another Power 5, Power 6 conference, I have no doubt you'll win that game. Or if it's Butler
yeah,
or a Utah State that you've played recently in the NCAA tournament around that line, I have full confidence that Texas Tech can win an NCAA tournament game. And it would be easier. Listen to this. It would be easier to go to the Sweet 16 than to get to the finals in the Big 12 tournament.
Completely. 100%.
It would be easy, and you just have to get there.
Yeah,
you just have. And
by
I
the
don't
way,
know.
Can you
I don't know that you'll get.
I don't
there.
Want to be on the 8-9 line, please.
No, that's a tough.
I'd rather be a 10 seed. I'd rather be a 12 seed. I'd rather go play 12-5. Because wasn't Tech on the 8-9 line when they played the
Butler
under Tubby Smith?
Yeah.
Will Tech make the NCAA tournament? That's the question of the day. It's Bandwagon Wednesday, 806-855-3712. Texter says, I'm on the Jalen Tyson bandwagon. He's getting better and better every game. What was his line last night? Tyson was 7 of 8, 2 of 2 long, 2 of 2 at the stripe. So 7 defensive rebounds, 8 total, and 3 assists. He was part of the turnover fest in the first half. He ended up with 4. That was the only negative on his line of 18 points.
And I think all 4 were in the first half for him.
And
if you go back to look at the first time they played Oklahoma, and Jalen Tyson was, I think, 1 of 8. So same shots. He was just incredibly efficient last night.
Yeah.
And I want to say Jalen Tyson was the guy who shot the ball to win in regulation and missed it in Lubbock.
Maybe.
And he was really good last night.
Very good.
Beyond some of the turnovers in the first half. But again, if you've never played in Norman, I'm serious.
You could hear the Tech contingent.
If you've never played in Norman, and a lot of those guys hadn't, it is really striking, especially in the middle of Big 12 play. And the last road game you played was Baton Rouge, which is a good fan base.
Yeah.
Even when they're bad. It is weird. It is weird to play in Norman. It's like playing 11 a.m. in Lawrence.
It is. In football.
In football.
Yeah.
it sucks all of the energy out. And that's why I was saying it's sometimes easier to go to a place like Morgantown or Hilton or Lawrence, because you feed off the crowd as much as the home team does.
So one of the things I was going to tweet it out last night, but the game was just too good. But I was going to, you know, dear SEC, you're getting an Oklahoma program that only cares about one thing. Their fan base supports one program, and that's Oklahoma football. They don't care about another thing there in Norman. They don't go to baseball unless they happen to be playing in Bricktown and then the T-shirt fans show up when they play Oklahoma State. They don't care about basketball. They don't care about baseball. They don't care about anything there. Maybe women's gymnastics.
There was an Oklahoma fan who said they couldn't wait for the baseball team to be in the SEC in a conference that cared about baseball. You have 1,700 average fans, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. And they said 5 last night, but...
Nah. 806-855-3712. Bandwagon Wednesday. Question of the day. Will Tech men's basketball make it to the NCAA tournament? You tell us. Jam up that text line. We'll get back to your text messages on the other side. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. It's 11:35. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro coming to you from the Arctic Air Studios as we work till 1 o'clock. ESPN 960 San Angelo and in Lubbock Talk 103.9 FM. News, money, sports. It's Bandwagon Wednesday. You tell us the bandwagons you're on, the bandwagons you're off, sports or otherwise. And of course, you text in 806-855-3712. Question of the day. It's pretty simple now. Will Texas Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? Is it more probable now that they make it than they miss it? That with 3 games to go in the regular season, winning 2 of 3, and then the Big 12 tournament, which one's more improbable now? The way this team is playing, the reality of the moment, what they have been able to string together, getting where do we think Fardos Amak is right now? I mean, we know where he is. Hopefully he's in Lubbock and going to class right now. 60%, 70%, 75%? What are we seeing?
I mean, if 60% double-double machine in the Big 12 is 60%.
I mean, he still really can't elevate. You're still watching him play. Now, when you're that tall,
right,
you don't have to jump a whole lot.
But
you're still not seeing a guy who I think is fully healthy, who can leap and jump and do all those things. Now, I'm not saying he's a Mac McClung.
Right. I don't... You only see highlights when a guy transfers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So
I don't know how athletic night in and night out he was, especially against that caliber of play.
Yeah.
He might be 90%, and this is just him.
That's a good point.
And that's the kind of athlete he is. He's more of a, I don't want to call him sneaky athletic, but he's not a guy. I mean, he's 7 foot. He doesn't have to jump 3 feet. He doesn't need a 36-inch.
He's almost there anyways.
So... And if he's getting rebounds, and again last night, Groves claims he's 6'10 on the roster. I don't think he's that big.
Didn't look like it.
And then Jalen Hill is 6'6". He's Marcos Santos Silva of the last year. And he was really productive, and he's really athletic too. But that was a game that you were able to put a body on everybody and be better than Oklahoma. And this weekend is a bad matchup for Texas Tech. You've had a couple of good matchups for Texas Tech. If Eddie Lampkin is on,
right,
and he's hit or miss, but if he's on, and then they have 2 really good guards at TCU does. Really good.
When they're on, maybe some of the best guard play in the country. And I'm not...
Yeah, transition and everything
hyperbole
else
here.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah, Damian Bob was playing like Michael Jordan for a couple of weeks. And then Mike Miles, everybody knows what he is, preseason Big 12 Player of the Year. Yeah, so
coming back healthy, or healthier at this point.
And he had a couple of really good games, and they took Kansas to the wire. But you know who for Kansas, defensive stopper Kevin McCullough.
Imagine that.
Was huge down the stretch for Kansas in that one.
That may be one of the most impressive wins in the Big 12 for Kansas, I think.
Yeah.
Against that healthy TCU team on that hideous court.
Yes. Yeah.
To overcome all of that and still win. That's why I'm saying Kansas right now, they're looking like Kansas. I don't know that they're as good as they were last year, but against this field in the NCAA tournament this year, they're good enough. They're good enough to repeat. 806-855-3712. Back to the text messages. Texter wants to know, Ryan, you've said you believe Adams' job security has nothing to do with on-court success. Is he still in jeopardy of getting fired as of this morning? I'll tell you this. Nothing's changed behind the scenes. Nothing has changed in the relationship with prominent boosters. All the issues that were issues a month ago, 2 weeks ago, and last week are still there. 100%. Is it possible that there could still be a coaching change at Texas Tech after this season is over? Yes. Yes, it is 100% still possible because the issues weren't with the losing streak. The behind-the-scenes issues that are not so behind-the-scenes anymore, they're all still there.
Yeah, and I've maintained that he's not going to get fired. That does not mean there's not going to be a coaching change.
No.
But there are also other factors that are going around, and we've talked about those, but there are also new other factors and maybe some available factors that have come into play.
Interesting.
It's all interesting.
It's
right?
all interesting.
But I will say this. You really hamstring an athletic department if you make a tournament and win a game.
Yeah.
An NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Especially after starting 0-9.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you...
That if you're authoring one of the great turnarounds in Big 12 history?
You force
another
year. And I don't really... I don't know that force is the right word, but because I... Again, it's just been so weird this season.
Yeah.
And there was a time where you did not look even talented.
In December and into January.
Yeah, and like you were not going to win a Big 12 game. West Virginia came to Lubbock and beat you by 15.
You were non-competitive.
Yeah, and then even after the huge comeback, you go to Waco and get beat by 30. It's like this team just doesn't have it. And since then, they've absolutely had it and have been able to finish some games. And, hey, credit to coaching.
Yeah.
Because Mark Adams has found some rotations. There were some lineups last night in the second half, and you're just like, who?
Some combos.
Who is on? Like KJ Allen and Elijah Fisher and Lamar Washington all on the floor at the same time, and you're still being productive. And I think your defensive rotations have improved immensely. And I think a lot of that is Lamar Washington and Tyson.
Yeah.
And Tyson has certainly improved defensively. And
Fisher is beginning to give
Fisher
you extended minutes over the last 2 weeks. Quality
and,
minutes.
And Elijah Fisher, he doesn't fill up the box score generally. He'll score in the paint sometimes. I know it's kind of dumb to always try to find a tech guy that a guy reminds you of. But right now, if Elijah Fisher could be Justin Gray the rest of the year and just, when he's in, play really hard and get a couple of rebounds that you don't expect him to and get a couple of buckets you don't expect him to and finish with 4-4 and affect the game defensively, then that is going to be really, really good minutes for him. And that's what he's been doing. And Justin Gray was a guy who was always really athletic and at some times in his career looked more of an athlete than a basketball player, but was really good for Texas Tech for a long stretch because he knew his role and stuck to it and played it really well.
Mm-hmm. Texters on the text line, 806-855-3712 to text in. Will Texas Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? Yes, no, that's the question of the day. It's Bandwagon Wednesday. Looking at last night's win as well. Texter, speaking of Houston, which we were earlier, why shouldn't they deserve the number one seed if they win out? I know their conference is crap, but they're a proven team and can win it all. Is it strictly the competition? They'll get a number one seed if they win out. Houston's going to be a number one seed if they win out. Let's use the Gonzaga comparison, all right? The good Gonzaga teams over the last few years. In a bad conference where St. Mary's once a year might give them a game, right? And everything else, they're blowing out people by 30. Houston's in a much better basketball conference than what Gonzaga has been in. Houston's a very good team. Texter, daily rumor question. Did the ACC Washington, Cal, Stanford, Oregon stuff surprise either of you yesterday? It did me, said the texter. Yormark needs to do it quick if he wants any Pac teams. Just my unprofessional opinion. What makes you think Yormark wants Washington, Cal, Stanford, and maybe even Oregon?
You want Oregon. But again, if the ACC is involved in the conversation, it's not true.
It's not serious. And it's being,
it's not true.
Well, yeah.
Because
they can't do anything.
Yeah, the ACC is locked. Because if especially if you're talking about a lower level ACC team, because that opens up the entire grant of rights.
And what do
and
the networks
Clemson,
not want?
You do not want to play Clemson double.
No.
You don't want to play Miami double. You've got Miami locked in at 36. You don't want to pay them 60 in the SEC. You just flat out don't.
Yeah.
And we're probably heading in that direction. But the Pac-12 is not going to merge with the ACC. You're not going to miss out on Cal and Stanford. And again, there is zero reason. And I'm picking that word in particular because there is zero reason for the Big 12 to rush to 20.
Yeah.
In fact, that would be a poor move for the future of the conference to force yourself to 20 and not be able to get an NC State or a Virginia Tech or a Miami in 5 years.
Yeah. Florida State.
And you do not want to be at 20 with schools that do not want to be serious. And that's Stanford and Cal. And that's Washington State and Oregon State at times. I think Oregon State certainly could be a program that really elevates in a conference that gives them a position to elevate. But that would be a huge risk. And you've already taken the risks. Houston is the risk.
Yeah.
Cincinnati is the risk.
UCF elevating is the biggest risk.
So you have zero reason. Now, if you want to get to 16 and match the SEC and the Big Ten, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
And if there are four schools in the Pac-12 that you want, that you feel would be serious and want a long-term commitment, aside from Oregon, I would take them on a couple of concessions.
Right, we talked about that on the short-term rent-a-team deal.
Now, there's another kind of they want an uneven pay scale and concessions that they can leave when they want. I would not do
no.
I would give them concessions on, hey, we'll give you an open-ended contract if you give us 4 years.
Yep.
But I wouldn't do any kind of uneven scale because you did that with Texas. And you did that with Oklahoma, and you don't.
Part of my concession to Oregon on that would be we'll let you out, but you're going to owe us some money, too, for a couple years.
Right.
We get 2 years' worth of your Big Ten money. We let you go, but you're going to send us some money.
Right.
So it's up to you. Maybe people are beginning to realize, Rob, that the Big 12 is negotiating in a huge position of strength right now against the Pac-12. And the biggest ally that the Big 12 has is called ESPN. Make no mistake, ESPN is in the business of destroying the Pac-12 right now. It is in their best interest, and they're going to do what's in their best interest. Plainsman in Dallas texting in, on the Fardos AMAC becoming a game-changer bandwagon, his presence and passing from the high post and rebounding and scoring inside have transformed our offense and solidified our defense. Unflappable, cool dude. I love watching him pass, and I love watching how they're utilizing him. It's a bit of a throwback, man, to the old days of a high-low post offense or a triangle or a triple post type offense or something like that you just hadn't seen a whole lot in the last 10, 15, however many years you want to put that in there.
Yeah.
Credit to the offensive staff for getting some sets in there, getting some, I hate to say plays, but getting some sets in there that allow him to flourish in his skill set. It's fun to watch.
I don't know how different this season would be if he played the entire year. But you certainly don't start 0-9 in conference play.
No, probably not.
And you might even, win a game, like beat Creighton or one of those schools early. You probably don't struggle as much as you do. You get into some rotations. You probably figure out the defense earlier.
Right.
If he's around, because you would have been able to to play with Elijah Fisher more and not need his offense as bad. I think that's one of the reasons he's been able to excel. But it is what it is at this point. And if Fardaw's, because I did not think he would play again.
Neither did I.
After he got hurt for the second time. But if he can be a double-double machine, or 8-10, or around a double-double the next four games, Eddie Lampkin is a lot less impactful. He could be the guy that Bryson Williams was last year against Kansas, because I think you can work the inside against Kansas. And you absolutely should beat Oklahoma State in Lubbock. Absolutely should. And they're pretty good.
Impactful. All right, we got to take our final timeout, hour number one. You guys jam up the text line, 806-855-3712. Question of the day, will Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? Yes or no? We can even morph it a little bit and say, if they will you be now more surprised if they don't than if they do, with three regular season games left? 806-855-3712, the text line. Bandwagon Wednesday, tell us the ones you're on, the ones you're off. Anything else that's on your mind, we want to hear from you. 806-855-3712. We'll finish up hour number one of Two Strong. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Roethlisberger's Action Update on Talk 1340. Check out VSiN's catalog of original podcasts, daily and weekly programming to keep you in the know when you're on the go. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Major League Baseball spring training is underway. Teams will begin playing games this Friday. Heading into the season, the defending World Series champion Astros are the favorite to win it again in 2023. They're a plus 650 bet. They're followed by the Yankees, Dodgers, and Mets, who are all plus 800. The Braves and Padres, both plus 1,000. The A's are the longest bet, plus $100,000. Favorites to win this year's NBA title, Boston at plus 325. Phoenix, plus 450. Milwaukee, at plus 550 bet. Denver, check in at plus 800. Boston, the favorite to win the Stanley Cup, at plus 500. Carolina, plus 700. Get the latest lines and more at vsin.com.
Final segment, hour number one of two. It's Ryan Hyatt, it's Raiderland, featuring Rob Bro here in the Arctic Air Studios. Got you till 1 o'clock, ESPN 960 San Angelo, and Talk 103.9 FM News, Money Sports. It is Bandwagon Wednesday. Give us the ones you're on, the ones you're off. Also, question of the day, will Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? 806-855-3712. Doughboy resident trucker in Raiderland, Guns Up Trucking. If you see him, honk. He's in checking in from Louisiana. He's headed to Texas, and he just wants to remind us that OU still sucks. Thank you. Texter, I'm still on the best sports pep talk in a movie is still Kurt Russell's speech in the Disney movie Miracle bandwagon. Anniversary, Miracle on Ice, this day, 1980. Rob, it was unbelievable as a kid seeing that. And you have to have everything in context. It wasn't just an amazing upset. It was Cold War. It was Reagan versus Russia, and Ronald Reagan would be coming in as president during 1980. It was the Iranian hostage situation. It was everything that in that moment coalesced. It happened on a Friday night, and I still can't believe this is how much things have changed since then, Rob. That game, of course, as most people know, was shown tape delay in America. It was played in the afternoon. You get home, you're watching the local sports. And for those of you who don't want to know what happened in Lake Placid today, have somebody get up and go to the TV and turn down the sound or change the channel for 30 seconds. Ha ha. Wink, wink. And they showed it replay. I saw it at my grandparents' house. In the outpouring of patriotism, like nothing else that right. I have seen in my lifetime. People, if you had an American flag, you put out your American flag for maybe the first time in a long time. And that, you know, obviously wasn't even the gold medal game. You win it a couple of days later. It was contextually one of the biggest sports moments in my life. And we were watching it on tape. Can you imagine that today? Watching it on tape delay. Texter, I'm on the bandwagon of whoever designed the sideline out-of-bounds play at the end of the game. My question is, where's that guy been?
You know, a lot of sidelines and inbounds plays and timeouts is execution.
Mm-hmm.
There were several well-designed inbounds plays that just did not get executed early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a point of a contention with Mark Adams and the staff, and it has been. And going back to the Chris Beard era,
right?
There was always some consternation on end-of-game moments and scenarios where you're not taking timeouts or you are taking timeouts. And
this is what you came up with out of the timeout?
It's a player's game. You know, you're letting the players play. So it's not new. But this year in particular, I felt like there was some solid plays that just did not get executed. I think going back to that Oklahoma game, Tyson at the end of the – you drew up a really good play at the end of regulation and did not make the bucket.
Yeah.
And then Kansas, Pop got the lane and drove, and they didn't call the foul.
Yeah. But you had the look.
You had the look, and all he had to do was go up, and he couldn't get to the basket because he got bumped. But, yeah, so I think there was a lot of execution problems, and you can still blame that on coaching.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish, that's kind of what the coach's job is. If you're not executing, it's...
not coaching them up properly.
Yep. But I do think there's been a lot of moments this year where you had the play, and either it was well defended, or your point guard dribbled for 5 seconds instead of making a pass.
9 out of 10 plays drawn up on baseline inbound or sideline inbound, 9 out of 10 are usually pretty good plays. It boils down to who's running the play
and
how good are you at running it.
And by the way, the defenses in the Big 12 are really good.
Yeah. And the defense can take it away from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes they call a better play or call the right play.
Yeah. It's been known to happen. You can't sit there and talk about how great your defense is and then say, well, nobody else plays defense. It's our offense that didn't execute. Well, sometimes defense wins. 806-855-3712. Get us some more bandwagons. Talking Tech basketball today. Will Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? That's the question of the day. Quick break. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, featuring Rob Bro.
Excuse me, I believe you have my stapler.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland.
Welcome back, hour number two, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, featuring Rob Bro. Congrats to us. We've done it again. We turn morning into afternoon as you find folks right here in the Arctic Air Studios, ESPN 960 San Angelo and in Lubbock. Talk 103.9 FM News Money Sports. I'm just Ryan Hyatt at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter, theraiderland.com, the website. We archive everything we do there. Back with you tonight around 6:30-ish. We'll sum up the day's events with the daily broadcast. It's fun, interactive online presentation. He's Rob Bro at Rob Bro Show, king of hat of the day, wearing the glorious Gambling Gauchos black cap with the white rope, and one third of the Gambling Gauchos. Did y'all go live last night after the game? It was a little bit late.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
Kyle did.
Well, okay. I thought y'all had a presence.
Yeah,
you had a long day.
I did.
Speaking of which, Lance Leinart, Panhandle Sports Hall of Famer, will join us later on this hour. We'll talk about the epic five overtimes, 86-78 Monterey Lady Plainsmen win over the Sandies last night.
I know there's been some four overtime games in high school basketball around the area in the last several years. You know, the Lady Raiders just went to three overtimes.
Yeah, well, I was about to say that you know, Mark Finkner does the Lady Raider games, you know, was texting me, was asking me, you know, you want to guess how many overtime games? And I was like, you know, probably 25, 30, 32, I think, but never a triple over. I'd never called a triple overtime.
Right.
I think I'd done like one or two double.
I don't think I've ever called double. Of course, I haven't called as many basketball games as you, but.
Yeah, so
pretty.
It's in the water right now,
insane.
I guess.
Insane, yeah. And, man, that we didn't talk about the Oklahoma State loss for Texas Tech over the weekend, but, man, there was a technical at the end, and then
and then
you had a trip in the third overtime in Lubbock where Bryn Gerlich goes straight up, and they call a contact foul on her.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is a foul, but she was straight up.
And we're in triple overtime.
And the next trip down the floor, Bree Scott does the same thing and gets pummeled, goes to the ground.
No call.
And that was ended up being a 4-point swing, and they scored on the other end. So really it was a 6-point swing.
And becomes the difference.
And that was the
game.
Because then at that point, with 2 minutes left, you're having to foul, and that's how it got to 10. But it was that. And again, three overtimes, lots of plays. There are lots of plays before that where you could have won that game. But to have it come down to that, and that really be the difference late in that one, was frustrating, I'm sure, especially for Coach Gerlich.
Very.
And for a home, you know, the home game that you really needed there against Oklahoma State.
Question of the day on Bandwagon Wednesday. Will Tech basketball make the NCAA tournament? We can also phrase it this way. What will surprise you more now? Rob, will you be more surprised if they make it, or more surprised if they don't now with three regular season games to go in the position they put themselves in? I mean, amazing the flip of the script that we've got with this team.
So we did this Sunday night on the Gambling Gauchos. We were just talking about the podcast, but I said it was going to be 51% that you probably make the tournament. I really do feel like it's more likely at this point that Texas Tech is in the postseason, in the NCAA tournament, because of what's left.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that you can go 2-1 or 1-2 across the final three and then do enough in the Big 12 tournament to be intrigued on Selection Sunday.
You got a reason to pay attention.
To be intrigued. But again, if you go 2-1 and then win a game or two in the Big 12 tournament, I really would think it shoots up to 60 or 70%.
I agree.
That you're in the tournament.
806-855-3712. I'll tell you one bandwagon I'm on before we get back to the texters. Can we go 48 hours without blowing dirt? Can we?
Can we go 12?
Give me an
afternoon. Yeah. Or an evening.
Give me a night with no dust.
I know.
People are suffering a lot worse than you and I are.
Right.
But we're the guys who, you know, got to be on for 2 to 3 hours running our mouth because it is talk radio. We've tried it the other way, not saying much, and the audience didn't really relish it. And I don't know that either of us are going to have a voice tomorrow. You've been fighting it for a week and a half. This morning, I sounded like a log truck bogging down in the mud trying to find a gear for the voice. So if we're not here tomorrow, that's why. Neither one of us will have a voice. We'll just type. We'll text everybody. We'll tweet the show. Texter, I'm all the way on the XFL bandwagon. It's exactly the product I want to watch. Just need more people in the stands. I didn't watch much this past weekend. I'm not anti-XFL. I am seasonal football guy, though, Rob, and I just feel like right now when the Super Bowl ends and the NFL season is over and we've been going week to week by week by week and we're breaking down games, and I'm kind of footballed out right now. That I really do think that if they would wait and maybe go in May or June and kind of give me the old summertime, you know, deal, like the original concept of the USFL was, and run up to NFL training camps, I feel like maybe I'd be more attuned to it then. I know that sounds weird, but right now I'm footballed out. I don't need that product right now. I want college baseball. I want March Madness. I want, you know, the anticipation of having my heart broken as I return to being a Texas Ranger fan of some modicum of support. I don't need any football right now.
There are some really interesting things that the XFL does, and I think them getting in before the USFL returned this year is going to be big for them, especially because they got all their rosters set. The USFL did their draft like yesterday.
Yeah.
So there's an entire, like, they are going to be the third or fourth league right now. And all of it now, maybe some players waited for the USFL because they were in the USFL last year, and you're still going to have some talent, but it's thinner this year because you don't have those XFL bodies. But what I was going to say was the ability in the XFL to not tie. If any of those games go into overtime, it's going to be a miracle. There was a game this weekend, I believe it was the Brahmas, where they're up like 12 with a minute and a half left and lose by 6. Because you have the ability to score a touchdown, go for 3 with a long play in the PAT section, and then instead of an onside, it's the 4th and 15 play. And if you get that, then you're right back in business. So I think with about 2 minutes left, they erase like 16 points because of those options. And those are really cool. And I would not be surprised if, you know, back in the USFL days, the original USFL, you took the, what was it, the PAT and the two-point conversion or whatever else from the USFL into the NFL. I would not be surprised if the XFL sticks around for a few years that you see some of these rules in the NFL.
Yeah, even if it doesn't, you may see the NFL move to some of those rules.
And I thought there was a good chance that the kickoff rule would be implemented fairly soon because of the reaction the first time around in 2020 with the XFL and the kickoff, where you're standing 5 yards apart.
I really do like that.
I mean, if you're eliminating injuries, the injuries happen because you're running down there.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
that makes it more like a scrimmage play.
Yeah, so if you're trying to eliminate injuries, that's the big part of it. And, you know, they took out the wedge and they took out some other things and they moved the kick closer to where there's more touchbacks, but there is an ability there to do that fairly easily, and that's not a huge change in the game. And, hey, if you want to make games faster, eliminate overtime, and you can do that by allowing teams to score 1, 2, or 3 and have more variations and score origami and all that.
And
the 4th and 15 instead of the onside kick is incredible. It's high drama.
And again, allow the field goal kicker to call it off the upright and give him 4 points.
Right.
He's calling it. He's calling his shot. Imagine the drama.
And I know the XFL is not incredible talent. That talent is reserved for the NFL. But I think the rules in the XFL provide enough intrigue that I will at least follow the XFL this year.
I'm not anti-XFL because of the product. Again, it's just my
football
fatigue.
You just need some break. And, you know, March Madness is such a – we're college football fans.
Yeah.
The XFL is a professional football fan league.
Right.
If you're only an NFL fan, and there are a lot of people out there NFL fans, then the XFL is for you.
Yeah.
We're college football fans, first and foremost, that cover and follow the NFL. But even our NFL interests are mostly college interests because we're following the Chiefs for Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the XFL fits a good niche. And it would be even better in the summer, I think, to your point. But, yeah, I'm watching college basketball.
Yeah.
And I'm focused on college basketball, and then I'm focused on college baseball. And if there's an XFL game on and I'm bored, I'll probably tune in.
Yeah.
I will watch the highlights. I will follow. If, you know, a Texas Tech player does something in the XFL, I'll pay attention. T.J. Vasher with the Brahmas.
Yeah.
Rico Jeffers with the Brahmas. I think he had a sack. Colin Schooler, I think, in Arlington.
Good for him. I didn't realize he was in Arlington.
I think maybe he had the sack.
Yeah.
One of the two. I know there's lots of Texas Tech players in and around it, so there's some value there, but I agree that it's college basketball season.
Yeah. Texters on the text line. It's Bandwagon Wednesday. We're also asking you, will Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? 806-855-3712. Texter says, I realize we're not little old Tech anymore, but did I hear you say Adams could get to the dance and Tech money people will still buy out his hefty contract? Well, that's not exactly what I said, but let me reiterate, that money's not a problem, all right? That's three phone calls. Yes, you're not little old Tech anymore, and it's really not that hefty of a contract. Mark Adams is still, when you look at what Tech is paying the head basketball coaching position right now, even with the extension, it is still significantly below what I would call market value. No pun intended right there with the name. See what we did there? Yeah, that's what we did. Texter says, I saw Coach McGuire at the Pancake Festival, and he got me fired up for Tech football. I can't effing wait. Where is he not?
Was he out serving pancakes? I'm sure he was.
Well, of course he was. Why would he not be?
Celebrities serving pancakes. I was sad to miss that. We were in Houston this weekend.
Where is he not?
He is everywhere.
Now, again,
there are three Joey McGuires, right?
Yes. It's, if you saw, I think it was Duplicity or Multiplicity. There was a movie
out. Duplicity, yeah.
Years ago, where Multiplicity.
Multiplicity. John Cusack.
Was that it? Maybe I'm thinking of another one with a different actor. Anyways, he clones himself.
Yeah.
But each clone gets dumber. This is the reverse. Every clone of Joey McGuire is even better.
Yeah.
Where is he not? And I'm gonna say something here nice about Matt Wells. In the COVID era, he wasn't able to do those things.
Right.
The optics, you couldn't be out doing those things. Even though we now know that, yes, you could. Absolutely, you could.
Right.
We were stupid. But he had to play by the rules.
His opportunity was handing out box lunches at Friendship.
Yeah.
Like, not quite,
right,
not quite
the same
impact. Yeah. But Joey McGuire's weekend. Let's go through it. Hayden Wigington, Texas Tech football player, plays at the Blue Light.
Out there supporting that, leading Raider power at the Blue Light.
They had, I think they bought out all the tables there and took the whole football team, it looked like. So that was,
I haven't done that
in
years.
One night. And then you had, obviously, the pancake breakfast, as the texter says. So, yeah, full weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he was out supporting some of his football players and playoff basketball. And
saw him directing traffic on 82nd in Milwaukee for one of the churches out there. I mean, he's everywhere.
Yeah. There was a house fire, and he went in and saved the cat.
Kitten. Yeah. Yeah. Two kittens.
Coach Gerlich.
One of the kittens was blind.
Coach Gerlich also out and about last night at the Amarillo Monterey game.
How many coaches were there?
I bet a lot.
How many coaches were there?
So our good friend of the program, Tucker Lowrance, was calling the Floydada boys game after that one. And he said he couldn't even get in. Like, he was trying to get in. He's standing room only.
Did he not drop the I'm Tucker Lowrance?
He did finally.
Former producer of the Rob Rowe Show.
And then there was another broadcaster in his spot. That was calling the Monterey game.
Was it Lance Leinart?
No, it wasn't Lance Leinart.
Lance Leinart's going to join us to talk about
that. Office there,
here in just a little bit. 806-855-3712. We got to take the quick timeout. We're taking you until 1 o'clock on Bandwagon Wednesday. Give us the bandwagons you are on, the ones you are off today. Also, question of the day, will Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? It's a simple question. Just answer the question. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Breaux. It's 12:22. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Breaux coming to you from the Arctic Air Studios as you listen in on San Angelo, ESPN 960, and in Lubbock, Talk 103.9 FM. Question of the day, will Tech basketball, men's basketball, make the NCAA tournament? Three regular season games to go, home this weekend against TCU, road Kansas, home Oklahoma State. Do they make it or not after last night's 74-63, fairly easy victory at Oklahoma? Bandwagons you were on, bandwagons you were off. It was created by a listener. It stays with the show. It is now part of the identity and the fabric of Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Breaux. It's Bandwagon Wednesday. And then we'll visit with Lance Leinart from up Amarillo way, Panhandle Sports Hall of Famer. Required by law to say that about last night's Amarillo High Monterey girls 5 overtime thriller. Lady Plainsmen advancing. We're talking XFL moments ago. Former Tech players texter, how is Vasher not on an NFL roster? Well, one of the best lines I heard about him after Tech, it was pretty simple. The guy said, lethal outside the numbers, lethargic in between the numbers. That he was regarded as an incomplete route runner, that he did not have route definition, and that he just wasn't good enough in the middle part of the field to be an NFL receiver. That outside, using his length and his body, great. But the rest of the time, you just couldn't have him on the field. He's got to improve that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is, you know, him getting stronger and getting an NFL body as opposed to a college body. But when you talk about system players, a lot of times that's perceived as a negative. I generally turn it as a positive, especially with a system quarterback. You want to be in a perfect system as a quarterback for your team. But Vasher is kind of the definition of a system wide receiver. He needs to be in a pass-happy,
yep,
vertical offense, and he would be a third or fourth wide receiver on an NFL team, but he would be outside the numbers as a deep threat.
Yeah.
Not really working inside, not multiple formations guy. And could he land somewhere and be the fifth wide receiver? Sure. Is that a better career than, let's say, dominating in an XFL or USFL or CFL and having a long career there? I don't know. I don't know if the money is widely different for a practice squad fifth wide receiver. And really, you'd have to carve out a role on special teams as well.
And that's something that he hasn't been able to do
right
at the NFL level. For whatever reason, yeah, one would want to assign that.
I don't really know that he has the frame.
No.
Generally, you want the shorter, compact guys like, yep, a Noah Brown who could, you know, go down like a linebacker on special teams. He doesn't really fit the profile as the fifth wide receiver.
He's a luxury piece.
Yeah.
That if you happen to have a spot that he could just be that luxury piece like you're describing, that's how he makes an NFL roster.
Like, let's say the Kansas City Chiefs have an open spot in the summer and want to bring him in for a workout. If he could impress and be a vertical threat or at least a third down threat, like if he could carve out like an Anquan Boldin role and just be a possession guy or a Keyshawn Johnson, I know those are two really good players, but those kind of roles, mm-hmm, as just kind of an eater, then yeah, he might be able to, but certainly in Dallas, that was not what he was being asked to do. Mm-hmm. And even with the thinness of the Dallas wide receiver core, he was the expendable piece.
Yeah. Texter talking about Pac-12 and all that good stuff says, let me clarify, I have no interest in Cal, Stanford, or Washington. Just a new take on the daily hot takes we've heard for months now. I believe no Pac-12 teams make it to the Big 12. Apple? Really? Great rumor they're spreading there with Apple. I love it. Good stuff, Canzano and the boys. There will be Pac-12 teams in the Big 12 at some point. Whether it's this summer or 4 years from now, there will be. Texter says, if 7-Eleven makes the tourney, yes, Texas Tech will make it. That's the question of the day.
It has made the tourney.
Yes. Recently.
Made it last year.
Yeah. So you got empirical evidence. Again, we caution. Remember, leagues don't get bids. Teams,
yeah,
get bids.
I also think the Big 12, like you're trying to look at history. The Big 12 5 years ago is not the Big 12 now.
No.
The Big 12 3 years ago is the Big 12 now.
Certainly last year.
But at some point, everyone got good. 5 years ago, it was really, maybe not top heavy, but there were five really good teams. In the last 2 years, maybe three, there's been seven really good teams. And for a long stretch this year, there's been nine really good teams, with Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and West Virginia kind of rotating in the 10th spot of punching up to the competition.
Speaking of West Virginia, is it time to root against Huggy Bear? That Tech's interest would be better served if West Virginia loses out? Or
so everybody has three games left.
Yeah.
Nobody plays tonight. I think if the Big 12 goes chalk, Texas Tech is in the tournament. Besides Texas Tech beating TCU and Oklahoma State.
I mean, Oklahoma is no longer a factor.
So, but you need Baylor to win. You need West Virginia to lose. And you need Oklahoma State to lose a couple and then play you. Now, does it maybe benefit you or at least hurt you even more that Oklahoma might lose out and be 90th in the net and turn into a quad two or three.
Yeah, that you need that. You need them to hang in there. When I say they're a non-factor, they're a non-factor for the tournament. But you still need that win to look good.
But you also kind of just need Oklahoma to lose to TCU in the final game to make the TCU.
TCU.
If you win,
welcome to the Big 12.
You kind of just want to go chalk, I think.
Yeah.
And have the best teams win and the middle teams lose, and you kind of meet Oklahoma State in the middle, maybe.
There you go. That's easy. Oh, and beat Kansas. That'd be good, too.
That would be a large piece, yes.
806-855-3712. Bandwagon Wednesday. Lance Leinart, join us next. Talk a little girls' high school basketball. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. It's 12:35. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro, taking you to 1 o'clock here in the Arctic Air Studios as you listen in San Angelo on ESPN 960 and in Lubbock. Talk 103.9 FM. News, money, sports. Don't forget, Rob Bro Show rolls your way Monday through Friday, 1 to 2, right here on Talk 103.9. So if you don't have the app, get it. You can keep right on listening no matter where you call Raiderland home. It's Bandwagon Wednesday. We're also asking the question of the day, will Tech make the NCAA tournament? And many other things that are on your mind. Take a break from a little bit of the college basketball discussion to bring on the Hall of Famer himself, Texas Panhandle Sports Hall of Fame journalist, radio talk show host, writer deluxe, Lance Leinart joins us again on the program. Man, it's good to hear your voice. Thanks for hopping on.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure, Ryan. Good to hear your voice as well, yeah.
When we have a...
That was a good day for me and my family, I will say that. That's all I remember that day, so yeah.
When we have a five-overtime epic Texas High School Classic, we have to go to someone who can put it into perspective, and we've got to get the Hall of Famer. Lance, I texted you last night, you know, have you ever seen anything like that? Heck, I've never even heard of anything like that, Lance. Where does this rank, just for you personally, on all-time sports moments?
You know, it's up there, you know, and I've done it for 40 years, so it's way up there, Ryan. I have that Panhandle football game where they held the ball the entire fourth quarter to win a 7-7 game by the back in the good old 20-yard penetration
game.
So that one's always up there, but no, this one's right there with the best of them. I mean, you know, Jill Rankin Schneider, obviously the Monterey coach, she's been there 24 years. She was a co-captain on the 1980 U.S. Olympic team. Now, they did boycott that, but played at Tennessee, played at Wayland. You know, she's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. She had never seen it, heard about it, and so that puts it in perspective.
Not amazing. I'm struggling for my words, Lance, but maybe important that these were two great teams. What happened last night, it wasn't just a, you know, early district game that just happened to go. I mean, this is high level, maybe the highest level around the state out here in West Texas with girls basketball. It was the two teams that put on the show make it extra special.
Yeah, and then the setting. You got 1,600 people in a place that seats 1,500 at Littlefield. It's down like in a bowl, so all the noise is raining down on the floor. You got Krista Gerlich sitting at one end, the Texas Tech women's coach, staying all five overtimes. So you add that going on around it, and you're right, Ryan. Plus, we're proud of our 806 girls high school basketball around here, the traditions of the Canyons, the Nazes. Emerald High's won a couple state titles here recently with Jeff Williams. And so the setting was unreal. Number one, Monterey. Number seven, Emerald High. And here's the thing that's kind of forgotten. When you go five overtimes, that's 2.5 extra quarters of basketball, okay? So no one has ever gone that deep as a player. The other thing is, Ryan, this game is 37-24 with 2:48 to play in the third. Like, Emerald High has just put a 19-2 run on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so to setting up to it, you're like, I can't believe this just happened. You know what I mean? But when you walk out of there, you're like, did I really just see that, okay? Did I really just see that?
People around here obviously have been aware of Chavez there for the Plainsmen for a while. You've chronicled a lot of great girls basketball players that have gone on to Tech, Texas, Oklahoma, you name it, Power 5 schools, big D1 programs. What makes her special, different at her age that you've seen?
Yeah, just a sophomore. She handles the ball, bringing it up the floor. Incredible handles. She can get to the basket on her own. She has amazing range on the three, like a lot of the Steph Curry era is just amazes me where they're allowed to shoot. First of all, Ryan, in our day, if you shot outside of 15 feet, you're a bench. You know what
That's
I mean?
Right. Get out of there.
Now it's double that, literally, it seems like. You know, but no, her range is amazing. And then when she decides to facilitate, the other players step up. And let's give credit. Monterey, I mean, she was held to 13 points. Only 13, my gosh. That's how great. Yeah, that says how great a player she is. Only 13. She's averaging 30 in regulation, I'm talking about, Ryan. And Emerald High put Victoria Barrera on her and just hawked her. And it did frustrate her. But let's give credit where credit's due. Point guard Ambrosia Cole, 22 points, just a freshman. This is from Monterey. And then Kelly Mora inside was absolutely crushing to Amarillo High. But, Ryan, it had it all. I'm just telling you. It looks like Amarillo High's done in the third overtime, okay? And what happens? A nailed three-pointer, okay? I mean, by Lacey Rice, who had only made one other basket. Fourth overtime, Amarillo High really just fortunate. Mackenzie Smith, who had 32. Banks went in from the top of the key. So all this is happening, and you're like, is it ever going to end?
It's almost a shame it had to end, in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, we
well,
said,
a shame there has to be a loser because my hope is that Monterey recovers from this physically and emotionally.
Good
they
point.
Have Timberview up next, probably another one of the best teams in the state in the regional semis. And after seeing that game, you're just hoping the winner of that gets rewarded with a state championship.
Yeah, that's an underrated point there. You don't get to go get treatment for 6 hours the next couple of days. You have to go back to high school for a couple of days and then travel back wherever they're going. I guess
Wichita Falls.
Yeah, and I think it's a 4 o'clock Friday game for them.
Hey,
yeah.
Change gears just a little bit. We're visiting with Lance Leinert, host of the Sports Drive. You can hear him in Amarillo. y'all hit at 5, is that right?
Five to seven.
Yeah, 5 to 7. Want to make sure. Well, I didn't want to cheat you out of an hour on that.
I appreciate that.
The way the wind's blowing today, they'll be picking you up in Canada, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it's brutal. It is so brutal.
I want to get your thoughts on what we're talking about with Texas Tech men's basketball, the turnaround over really the last two and a half weeks or so, maybe going back to that LSU out-of-conference win in the SEC Challenge. Particularly from the standpoint, you've covered Mark Adams and known Mark Adams a long time. Can you look back at any time in his coaching career where he had an in-season, you know, turnaround like this that compares to maybe something you saw in the past?
No, I can't. I really can't because he was so successful at WT. And then in his junior college days, you know, that won so many games. And then obviously last year in his debut. But I will say this. I think I've never seen him as – I will say this because I know I'm behind the scenes a little bit, and I know Rick Cooper even better behind the scenes. And there was a heavy frustration with him. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Because of what was going on. It was the worst-case scenario. But Fardaz, as you guys have talked about, when they're able to rebound and set up what defense he can play with this team, it makes all the difference in the world, okay? They're just not getting crushed on the boards like we've seen a lot during the season. But give him credit, man. You know, I mean, they want him fired, get him out of here, bring Beard back. You know, and trust me, his ears are not closed. He is hearing this. He is one of those guys
who
knows what's going on. So it was I think it's just an impressive turnaround. I think they're a gritty team. I think the Big 12, like you guys have talked for the last 2 months, it's so tough. Night in and night out, and they're getting the breaks here and playing some good basketball. So I'm impressed. I will be honest. I thought, no way. I thought this team was toast.
Yeah.
Okay? I really did.
Well, there was no reason not to 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And I love Mark Adams, but I thought they were dead in the water. Okay?
Before you get out of here, one more, and I don't know whether you can confirm or deny this. Has Pac-12 Commissioner George Klyavkov reached out to the Tascosa Rebels about going to the Pac-12. Is that a viable rumor right now, you know, with Coach Plunk and where that program is? It seems like it could be a good fit.
Man, you are on your game. You have sources everywhere. I thought I was holding on to that one, yeah. No, I would not be surprised the way that's all going down. College athletics has changed so much, and I'm no longer old guy on the lawn. I hate seeing USC and UCLA in the Big Ten. I despise that kind of stuff. But I've just kind of said, okay.
And you're kind of a Colorado guy going to high school there at Air Force Academy High School. And I mean, when you see Colorado not in the Big 12 or Big 8 in the Pac-12, you have watched that just as a fan. You know, what's that like for you?
Yeah, no, I mean, they lost all fan base, like, outside of Boulder because they went to the Pac-12, okay? And then they didn't do anything in it, you know, football-wise. Had a little basketball run there for a couple of years, but, they crushed all the traditions. You know, fair or not, Ryan, and I know it's Nebraska and Colorado and who cares in general, you know what I mean? But that was the rivalry of all rivalries.
It was great.
For the state of Colorado. Okay? It just was.
I mean, as a Southwest Conference guy, I grew up and I'm seeing, you know, like two Big Eight games a year. I'm seeing OU Nebraska and I'm seeing Colorado and Nebraska.
Yep.
And it was always sleeting.
It was always sleeting something, yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't expect
you. Children of the Corn showed up in Boulder and they were loud and proud, okay?
I wasn't expecting to ask you this kind of media question like that, but you still have spent a lot of time up in Colorado over the years, and since they've gone to the Pac-12, what kind of command does UC Boulder have over that Denver media market? It seems like it's such a pro sports market that when people talk about Colorado delivering the Denver Metro, do they really move the needle like that anymore?
Not even close. It's all Denver Broncos, okay?
Yeah.
You have, obviously, the Joker in there with the Nuggets, so they have their loyal fans. And then the Rockies, just because it's a nice day, still a gorgeous stadium. The team is horrible. So they fight those three, okay? And they're a distant fourth right now until they get relevant. I will say this. I had Coach Gary Barnett, former my high school coach, who used to coach CU, and he said Deion Sanders has moved the needle like nobody has in the last decade there. So he's pretty excited, you know what I mean? So
can we tell people what Gary Barnett nicknamed you there in high school?
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're visiting with the Flea.
You know, Ryan, I thought I got rid of that. Like, you know, out of high school, I go with the Greeley. Quick story. I'm done with it, okay? And then all of a sudden, one of my, you know, schoolmates, of course, they're a Greeley, you know what I mean? Hey, Flea, what's going on? And then my friends, it was over. You know what I mean? So There are worse nicknames, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. Hey, and shout out to Zach Thomas. We had him on the radio station. Any of your listeners, I know you guys are tapped in big time. We have on our website, self-promote here.
Do it.
His interview that was about 25 minutes long, if you go to thepanhandlesportsstar.com, we had him on last week. Really good interview. And you probably know this, Ryan, but he came to Tech as a running back.
Mm-hmm.
That is why he wore number 35. I did not know that. I really did.
Yeah, that was a number. The number 35 was a number Donnybuck, the old equipment manager, would kind of reserve and give out to guys he thought were going to be special. Bam Morris had 35, I think, when he initially showed up on campus before. What did he end up wearing? Can't remember what he ended up.
Yeah.
Either way, so, you know, that's kind of how that came around at that time. And then, of course, Zach Thomas's presence kept Spike Dykes from recruiting some guy from Lovington, New Mexico, who he also wanted to make a running back. Wonder whatever happened to that guy. I heard he played for the Bears.
Yeah. And Urlacher was the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Zach Thomas was, too. He just didn't get elected.
It's going to be a big day for his family. He's so appreciative. He's definitely humbled. I think he was shocked at his emotions when Jimmy Johnson actually was at his house to tell him.
And I'm glad Jimmy Johnson was able to do that. I mean, for both those guys, that moment, you know, that could be shared. I was glad that that happened. He's Lance Leinart, everybody. Check out the show today at 5. Tell everybody where they can find you on the dial and also where they can find you on social media.
Right, 102.9 FM if you're in the Amarillo area, and then go to panhandlesportstar.com, and then Odyssey, all that stuff we're on. You know, that if you're out of state or whatever and you want to grab it.
Always appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for the interview.
Thanks. Lance Leinart, everybody. He's got a pretty good voice for a newspaper guy, doesn't he? I mean, most newspaper guys sound like Don Williams.
Yeah, he should do some radio.
He ought to get into radio and do some of that. Final segment of the day, at least for our show, coming up. You guys jam up the text line, 806-855-3712. Will Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? Give us the bandwagons you're on or you are off today, and anything else that you want to get in. We've got plenty of time for you. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Final segment of the day, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro coming to you from the Arctic Air Studios. Got you till 1 o'clock, so still time for you to get in on the text line, 806-855-3712. From 1 to 2, Rob Bro Show coming your way on Talk 103.9 FM. I'm sure much of the discussions will carry over, including Texas Tech basketball winning last night 74-63. You can give us your thoughts on that. The question of the day, will Tech men's basketball make the NCAA tournament? Yes or no, and it is Bandwagon Wednesday, so you still got time to get on a bandwagon, get off a bandwagon, sports or otherwise. We referenced it a little bit earlier, more in the first hour of the show, but the impending demise of the Pac-12. Jason Shear again covers Arizona, great Twitter follow. He is one of the voices of reason. Rob, he may be the voice of reason in the Pac-12 covering Arizona. He did a nice breakdown, a little bit, of the Sports Business Journal podcast that is talking about, you know, the Apple rumor and everything that is going on regarding the Pac-12 trying to piece together any sort of media rights deal that will get them anywhere. Some of the quotes from that podcast that he said, that he tweeted out, quote, not looking good for the Pac-12. There was a good deal to be had 6 months ago. Sports Business Journal talking about the Pac-12, and that's pretty factual. But again, their own ineptitude kept them from getting there. And Brett Yarmark, in months, just months on the job, beats them to the pay window. And I'm old enough, Rob, to remember when I was told by Stewie Mandel and Dennis Dodd and Canzano and Wilner that, oh, the Big 12 had made a huge mistake. Well, this was actually good for the Pac-12 because you know what it was going to do? Well, they set the market, and now the Pac-12 will get even more than the Big 12. And now we're hearing that they're as much as $10 million off of what the CEOs of the Pac-12 believe they should get, which is now the number, the floor, the minimum number they want is $28 million. And what we're hearing is that $18 million is closer to what they have on the table right now.
And I think there's a wide discrepancy on what it means for Apple to overpay.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole thing. But 6 months ago when we talked about a streaming service for the Big 12 overpaying, that was for third tier rights,
not first tier.
They are going to have, you know, the Pac-12 brought to you by Apple. And that is not as intriguing as it sounds.
No, it is not. It is not at all. And it is to the point where they are actually, that George Klyakov is allowing, you know, the rumors to get out to test the waters on the idea of streaming being your tier one. I mean, to me, it's just plain as day right now, Rob, that ESPN's killing the Pac-12. That ESPN wants the Pac-12 gone, that they don't need them now, and that it is in their best interest to destroy it. And then they can select for Brett Yormark and tell Brett Yormark, these four teams can come in. Maybe these six, but I'm with you. I don't want six right now. Because your path, Rob, your path to 16 or 20 has got to include the demise of the ACC whenever that occurs. in this whole ACC Pac-12 nonsense. As we said, who in the world at ESPN is going to allow that contract to be reopened? No, they're not. Now, that's the Pac-12 people pushing that, and I get it. They're desperate. But if you can, I was able to dip in, and I had to, you know, kind of speed listen to that Sports Business Journal podcast. Very good sound reasoning on what a lot is going on. And the time frame continues to be now that it's the end of March, and if George Kliavkov can't bring on the money, he's done and the Pac-12's done.
The Pac-12 is done.
Either way, they're done.
Well, but the Pac-12 is done with him, or the Pac-12 is done being the Pac-12?
Yes. He's okay. Gone and the Pac-12 flies apart. There is no part two. There is no plan B.
So maybe the Pac-12 isn't done, but the four corner schools are, and they're going to start
looking.
Gone. Gotcha.
And if any team leaves, it's over. All it takes is one team. It's done. Rob Bro Show is coming up next. Follow me on Twitter at Ryan Hyatt Media. We'll be back with the daily broadcast around 6:30-ish. Big Either or Thursday show tomorrow. Let's get on the bandwagon of no wind. Can we do that? For Rob, I'm Ryan. We'll see you Thursday in Raiderland.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.